Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead is that at that, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And all these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they have been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one, and therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. And it was he to whom he said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, for they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the harlot did not perish, along with those who were disobedient, after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by resurrection, others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order they might attain a better resurrection, and others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they should not be made perfect. Amen. The writer of Hebrews opens the door in this next chapter, and we'll carry on for a few chapters, about faith. And in verse 38, At the end there, and he says in chapter 10, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And so he's been talking about what this faith life looks like. What is the consequences of not living out in faith? He shares in 10. And now he's going to go through the whole of the Old Testament and giving us examples of this faith. Remember, he's talking to a group of people, and the one of the things that he wants to convey and lay across to the Israelites is that your faith is not just an intellectual concept. It's not just something that you think about all the time. And then also for the Gentiles, your faith should make a difference, that you should not live like a pagan anymore. And the same thing to a Hebrew, your faith should make a difference, that now you're no longer bound to the law. And so he gives us this really beautiful text as he goes through the Old Testament, primarily written to a Jewish audience. And he starts off in verse 1 and defines what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So we recognize and make sure we understand this, the opposite of faith is not being fearless or having courage or whatnot. The opposite of faith is sight. And so when we talk about faith, it's talking about doing something that you don't see, but it's something that I should say is seen in the natural, but it's even bigger than that. The idea here, the word assurance, is in the Greek, another way we could say it and commonly used during this time is it was a down payment. Actually, a better way of saying it was your title deed. And so in the scripture, or in the Greek times, that if you owned land or you had property or something like that, you had this title deed. This paper represented something else that you owned out there. You can't see it. You only have the paper in your possession, but this paper that you have represents your ownership of something else that's out there. And so in that same way, he's saying faith is like that. When we operate in faith on this earth, in other words, it's not just an intellectual concept. When we move in faith, in other words, he's talking about our deeds and our actions. When we move in faith, those are just testimony of this title deed that you have of the promise of God in our life. So it's not just something that's just a figment of our imagination or something that's just a purely an intellectual pursuit. Faith is action. And he's constantly giving example after example, example of what this means. Now, faith is the title deed of what we hope for. So if you want to know what you really hope for, it's really by the way we live our lives. This really is the way that we do things. We hear in our world many times, talk is cheap, and it's true. Talk is cheap. It doesn't matter what you say. It really, really doesn't. I tell you, as a married person, if you figure this out in your relationship, you're going to have a good marriage. And not figure out, just talk is cheap. But words are not enough. You could tell your wife a million times every day, I love you. But if you don't act that love out, it is almost meaningless. Look, it took years for me to figure that out. I'm just being very honest. And I always, I'm good with my words, right? So I always use my words. But sometimes my actions are lacking. And so, for me, I feel like, well, I told you I love you. So, I mean, that's not good enough. No, to most women, it's not good enough. It's not just the words that you speak; it's the action. And that same way, faith is not saying, "I believe God. I come to church. I believe God." That's not enough. It's just merely a part of, because it is intellectual conviction plays a part. But it's also the volitional surrender of our will, that we live this thing out. And he says, for by it the men of old gain approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We take this by faith. It is our title deed to a hope, a conviction of something that we have that we don't see. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so it's this idea of faith that's there. And then he continues on. I mean, there's so many examples. I don't have enough time to go through so many of these. I'll go through a few, but with a point in mind. And look at verse 6. And it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so when we talk about this idea of faith, number one, we know, okay, how can we please God? Paul writes in Ephesians 5, I think, try to find what is pleasing to the Lord. And so we know this is our pursuit of our life. We want to find out what pleases God. And so if that's going to be the pursuit of our heart, then one of the ways that we have to recognize how we do this is that we have to operate in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. What does this mean that when we come to God, he says, well, when we come to him, this is some of the elements of this idea of walking in faith. You have to believe that he is, okay, understand that. And you have to seek him. That there's got to be an intellectual component there, but it's also got to be an obedience. It's got to be a moving out of where we are. It's got to be something that we do in action. James later on, faith without works is dead. And so we see these elements that come together in this way. And then by faith, Noah, here's all these wonderful things. Let me just point out a few of these to talk about something else. By faith, verse 11, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time, since she considered him faithful who had promised. I don't know. I read the book of Genesis, and I see a very, very different picture than this picture that's laid out here. The writer of Hebrews seems to make Sarah out to be the saint. I recall that Sarah received this promise. This is just my reading of Scripture. I recall Sarah received this promise, and she thought it was a big joke. In fact, she laughed, if you remember. I also remember that when this promise was given a time before, that she actually gave her maid to Abraham, and thus Ishmael and the whole disaster that we are still living out today happens. I don't really see Sarah as a woman of faith. I'm just honestly speaking, as I read through the text, but God has something else in mind. Let me show you another one. It's even bigger than this. Let's turn to Moses in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he was looking for a reward. He left by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Now, I also read the book of Exodus, and I find in my reading of the book of Exodus, it's a very different picture than the writer of Hebrews has. In fact, let me read one little part here of Exodus for you. In Exodus chapter 2, he goes out and he kills the Egyptian who's beating a Hebrew. And then we get to verse 13. It says, and when he went out the next day, he beheld two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you kill the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard of the matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh, settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, I compare Genesis, I compare Exodus, I compare that to the writer of Hebrews, and it's like they're telling two totally different stories. It's actually the same event. It's kind of like a crime scene, and people were seeing the same event, but they're giving three or four different stories of how this event took place. And so you have two different views. And this is the way that I understand this passage. One view, it says very clearly that that Moses was afraid. Hebrews tells us that he had faith. He did not fear the king. And so he, in his own volition, he didn't escape, he didn't flee, he didn't run away. He chose this path to go someplace. You know the difference between Genesis and Exodus and the book of Hebrews? You know the defining difference of this? It's Jesus. The writer of Hebrews is writing through the lens of Christ. And so there's a really great old Christian word. It's called imputed righteousness. What imputed righteousness means, it means that we are righteous, we are made righteous, not because of our actions, but because of Jesus' actions. And so when God looks through our life, God is going to look, and he's not going to see, oh, yeah, Sam was afraid, and he made this mistake, and he did this, and this happened, and that, and whatnot. Actually, there's going to be like a history revision is going to take place. Because now everything about my life is actually through the lens of Christ. And all the righteous acts of Christ are now imputed to me and to yourself as well. Isn't it great? I mean, you could think of all the mistakes that you made in your life, all these things that you just one after another, and we beat ourselves about it. But you know, the reality is God has totally forgotten. And not only has he totally forgotten, because of Jesus, because of his finished work, that even when that story is retold, it's retold in such a beautiful manner that it actually looks like that we lived a totally different life. I mean, it's amazing. It's passages like this that help me to really, really understand this idea that we pass over the judgment seat of Christ. We pass through judgment and into life. And so we are imputed righteousness in our life, not because of what we've done or we failed to do, but because of Jesus the Christ. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why it's good news. It's the whole idea of the gospel is it's a paper, it's a publication that goes out that just shares all the good news about our life. It's amazing the difference that Jesus the Christ makes in our life. The story should read, so BC, before Christ, the story should read, Moses was scared, man. He made a huge mistake. He murdered some guy. And then he heard about the king's going to kill him, so he was got deathly afraid, and so he just took off and he fled. And then you have this totally different picture by faith, choosing rather to endure ill treatment. I don't know. He lived in the castle of the king the whole time. I don't see any ill treatment that came his way. The ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Even that makes it sound so grandiose. Sure, yeah, he went out and he realized he was a Hebrew. He went out to see how his people were doing. He didn't really choose that. But it's a whole revision because now it's the lens of Christ. Now we're seeing through the eyes of Jesus. And for a long time, without this passage and other similar passages throughout as well, that I could have, it's kind of like this idea, really, could it be? Like the gospel, it sounds too good to be true. Do you know what I mean? It sounds like, really, could this be possible? Could God really absolutely forget? You know, I'm totally forget my sins, you know, as far as the east is from the west, all that kind of stuff, buried in the deepest sea, remember no more. And not only that, could he even see those incidences in my life and completely turn it around, especially in a descriptive mode? And the answer is yes. Yes. Sarah, Moses, I mean, just this, if you actually continue to read this whole thing, it's chock full of the redemptive work of God, especially in Christ Jesus. Righteousness that's imputed to us. You know, the great thing is, and I remember hearing Tony Campolo at Urbana. It was just cracking me up, and he had this cassette tape, and you guys know what cassette tapes are, right? The before CDs and everything else, and your iPod, iPods. So I had this cassette. I was listening to this, and he was talking a little bit about imputed righteousness, and he says something really funny. He says, "You know what? I can't wait till I go to heaven," and then he says, and then there's the next line, it was, "Because I want my wife to be there, because I want her to hear all these great things that I did, that you know that Jesus is going to relay that he didn't really do, but it was all the great things that Jesus did, but it gets imputed to us on that day." Isn't that a great thought? You know, and so I always thought that, yeah, you know, when I get to heaven, I want everyone around to be there, just to God to tell everyone what a great guy I was, you know. But it wasn't me. I didn't do anything. It was God. It was Jesus. This is this incredible faith that we have in the Lord. It's imputed to us because he did it, because of his work, because of his deeds. Think about it. What is the thing that the enemy is trying to do in your life right now? He's trying to get you to remember your mistakes. And he's going to try to punish you through your mistakes. And God's like, well, what mistakes? What are you talking about? I already forgot those things. And move on from your life. You know, just step up to a whole nother level here. And it's just totally behind him. But unfortunately, it's not behind us. It's imputed because of what Jesus Christ has done. He rewrites our history. This is why we can have this faith. And I mean, this goes on. I really love verse 32, and he says, man, what more can I say? If I had time, I can just lay out person after person after person after person where this righteousness has been imputed in their life because of what they've done. And is a great verse. I mean, I have to mention it. Verse 38, men of whom the world was not worthy. Is that one of the greatest lines in all of the Bible? Men of whom this world was not worthy. And it's not necessarily because of their faith or whatnot. I mean, that played a part of it, but it was God working through them. And they're just not worthy of this world. Can I tell you something? As a follower of Christ, you are not worthy of this world. This world has nothing on you. That's why it's a shame when we bow down to the principles and to the authorities and to the ways of this world. We are so much above. Do you know what I mean? We are so much above that. But yet it's a shame when we bow down to this world and live out like everyone else lives out in this. We're so much better than that. We're so much higher. The world is not worthy of us. It's not even in comparison because of our life in God. So let's close our eyes today. The same aspect. The world is not worthy of you. If you're here this morning and you are constantly bombarded with your past, you're constantly bombarded with your mistakes and your failures, you're living in regret, you wish that, oh, I wish I got better grades in college, I wish I would have taken this job, I wish I would have married this person, I wish X, Y, Z, whatever happened. That's not the life of the follower of Christ. We don't dwell from your mistakes. We learn from our mistakes, but they're forgotten in God. And the reality is God is writing a whole nother chapter. Very different. You'll figure it out when you get to heaven. You'll understand the fullness of it. Just like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, though we see in part, we prophesy in part. Though we see dimly in a mirror, but then at some point we'll be fully known. And we get glimpses of it, but you're going to realize fully when we come to see Jesus. But yet, you can still enjoy those glimpses. Let me encourage us as a church, don't dwell on your past sins. Move forward. God has imputed righteousness in our lives because of the sacrifice of his Son. It's a gift of God. And I want to encourage you today to move on. Let the past be the past. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. Buried in the deepest sea, as far as the east is from the west. That's how far, he says, he's removed his transgressions, or our transgressions from him. So, and just as a holy response, now live righteously. The righteous shall live by faith. Not just words, but deeds. And so let's just spend some time this morning. If you are haunted by the past, or ask Holy Spirit to speak to you, to move into those places, recognizing that, man, deep, deep, deep in our spirit and our soul, He's writing, it's a revision is taking place right now. It's a glorious revision because it's being written through the eyes of Christ. As we worship, let's just meditate on that.
My life.
Let's pray. Let's pray prayers of thanksgiving, gratitude for Christ and what He's done for us. He is literally rewriting our lives as I speak. He's pointing to God about all the good things in our life. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren, and He's pointing out all our bad things, all our mistakes, and He is absolutely true. He's correct. But God, the one who intercedes, Jesus, He's pointing out to God the good things, not necessarily what we've done, but what He's done. And He literally covers us. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so let's go before the Lord in thanksgiving for the grace, for the gospel, for His life and resurrection. And let's pray for ourselves that we would respond. There would be a holy response to this. That's what the writer of Hebrews is getting at. There should be a holy response, because the righteous shall live by faith. Let's pray together. Go to our prayer focus, our community prayer focus, and let's pray for people in our community that are sick, people that are going through different stages of their treatment and looking for transplant. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and bring that healing word over their lives and that provision. Let's pray for our ones that are sick but also need that word of salvation in their life. And let's pray for God's hand. And again, it's just a reminder, don't feel like you have to pray for everyone in the group. If you can, that's great. But if there's someone that kind of sticks out to you as you're praying, then just focus and concentrate. That's okay too. All right, let's pray for this list. Let's pray for others that are saved but going through illnesses and different procedures. And let's ask God's hand to be with them and release that healing word over their life. Pray for our ones that are looking for work. Let's ask God to continue to provide for them and just continue to draw them closer to Him. Let's pray. in our mission prayer focus, and let's pray for Singapore and Australia today. Let's ask God to continue to touch these countries, and especially a lot of our friends that have moved to these places, and let's pray for Holy Spirit to move upon them as well. I pray also for future church planting opportunities, that God would open doors for us and provide staff and all these things. And let's just cover these countries and ask for God to use us and to breathe upon these places. Let's pray. Church focus, let's pray for our hospitality ministries, and let's pray for Welcoming and Barista. Let's pray for these ministries that there will always be enough volunteers, and they'll be cheerful and really give their best to the Lord, ministering and serving, especially our newcomers to church. They would feel loved through our volunteers. And so let's pray for these ministries and the leaders. As it's Monday, let's pray for our workplace today. I pray for the place that you will go to very soon from here. Ask God to bless your bosses, your people that work in your company. Ask Holy Spirit to use you to minister effectively. God would bring opportunities to you, and that you would be an atmosphere changer, because God living in you will spill out of you in the workplace. And let's just cover your businesses, your companies, and ask God's hand to be with you, and that Monday wouldn't be so dreary because of all the opportunities that God has in store for you this week. And so let's pray for your work. Member focus, and let's pray for Sophia Lee. Pray for clarity and direction in Daniel's career. Pray for their son Andrew to grow up happy, healthy, and a blessing from the Lord. Pray for health and well-being of the parents. Pray that this year they will come closer to God and be able to hear Him clearly. And pray that they will come to church. I mean, just a simple thing. Let's just lift up Sophia. Pray for Jason Chung. Pray that God heals 2-year-old son Aiden of his developmental delays. So pray for God's healing hand upon their son. Let's pray for Jason and the family. Pray for our missionary, Leanne Cheng. Pray for revelation, wisdom, faith to achieve the vision that God has given to her. Pray to pave the way practically, to bring right people to help her accomplish the vision. That the vision, everything in her life would work together to glorify God. And she'd learn patience and skill to influence, disciple, and teach others. So let's pray for Leanne. we just thank you, God. Well, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that the righteous will live by faith. Lord, it's faith that we can see. And so help us to respond to you, God, a holy response to a holy God, and to live this life out in faith that pleases you. Lord, watch over us, Lord, the rest of this day as we give you all the glory, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys this morning. Have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.